If you've not already done so, I'd ask you would turn with me to Revelation 21 as I read the first eight verses of this second last chapter, the last book of God's written word. Hear now eight verses from Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. May God bless what you have just heard, even today. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come before your word again today. You are God of wonders. Please use your word as you alone can to the blessing of your people. May we be a people that understand what it is to give thanksgiving unto you because of the things you've been pleased to reveal to us through your word. Even about things that are yet to take place. May your spirit own his word today, and we will give you all the praise. Amen. I return your attention to the book of Revelation today, after a lengthy absence from it. And I return your attention to the verses I've just read in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. Now, I know that I've considered these verses a number of months back, but I want to consider them again this Sunday morning before this country's observing of what is called Thanksgiving. And I'm going to start to do this by challenging you with a question. Do you believe what these verses declare and reveal? Now, you need to remember what I believe the book or letter of Revelation written to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ is. The book of Revelation is a book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, the only written word of God that we have today that reveals past history. It reveals present history, however briefly, and it reveals future human history as it relates to the blood-bought body of Christ, as well as all men, in powerful apocalyptic pictures. By apocalyptic pictures, I mean powerful images of actual history that reveal things before they come to pass in human history, but that can be laid over the events of real human history that they are picturing after they come to pass. Understand Revelation correctly, and you will see, you will understand the utterly false statement about human life and human history made by Shakespeare's Macbeth. When he states, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and that then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury. If you believe the book of Revelation, you will see the utter fallacy of that statement by Macbeth. Not true if you believe the book of Revelation and the Lord revealing his sovereignty over human history for the glory of his name and the good of his blood-bought people. Now, the book of Revelation, being unique apocalyptic history, is written history. And all written history is selective, including the infallible and inerrant record of human history recorded for you in the Bible, beginning with Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As God creates the universe and earth upon which he will uniquely enter in the person of the Son of God. A truth I will return to later, but remember, all things were made by him and for him. And this includes the last 2,000 years and counting of actual human history revealed apocalyptically in Revelation. Now, if you have difficulty seeing this, remember, I have preached over 50 messages so far on this book of human history as it relates to the Church of Jesus Christ. Believer, don't let all the incorrect views of the book of Revelation hinder you from seeing what it is. It is a gift to you from the risen, ascended, reigning, and returning Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift for you to be blessed by. As Jesus shows you that he has been and is sovereign over human history until he returns, which is the history as we know it ending event pictured in the verses I return you to in Revelation 21. For Revelation is not just an apocalyptic picture of fulfilled past history. It's not just an apocalyptic picture of present history, even if very brief. But as the verses I want to open up this morning reveal, it is an apocalyptic picture of future history, of things that have not yet taken place, but will. And this is what makes a chapter like chapter 21 of Revelation and following so challenging, not to say that the previous 20 chapters were easy. For the Apostle John had things revealed to him that were all future to him. But from our perspective in the 21st century, John had revealed to him things that have been fulfilled, even a majority of the book. But Jesus gave to John things that are yet future for his entire redeemed church. Because if the things I'm going to try to open up from the opening verses of Revelation 21 were fulfilled, I would not be preaching to you this morning on them. They are yet to be fulfilled in the perfect timing of the Lord over human history. Just verse 1 of chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So on this Sunday morning before Thanksgiving, are you able to give the living, true, and only God serious thanksgiving for believing what John has revealed to him by Jesus as to what is yet to come? Not a new world order of unbelieving men, not a great reset of arrogant devil-deceived men, but a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell forever. Because I found it interesting that in the earlier hour, I sought to open up the chapter on saving faith in the 1646 London Baptist Confession of Faith, just a portion of it. Faith is the gift of God wrought in the hearts of the elect by the Spirit of God, by which faith they come to know and believe the truth of the Scriptures. True saving faith believes what the Bible teaches about all things, including what the Bible, what the book of Revelation reveals and teaches about things yet to come. So I would ask you again on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, are you thankful to God for the faith to believe what the Scriptures of God reveal is yet to come? As revealed to you in these opening verses of Revelation 21 that I hope to open up today. Because on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, how many people would look at you like you had lost your mind if you were to tell them, I am thankful to the living, true, and only God for the faith to believe the truths revealed and declared in the book of Revelation, including the things that it reveals that are yet to come to pass. Seriously thankful, despite all the inadequate and incorrect approaches to this book of revealed history and yet to be seen human history. Because as I said, the verses I read moments ago reveal things yet to come. And yes, one can ponder them and rightly wonder what the actual fulfillment of what is being revealed in these verses will mean. Truth I will try and illustrate in a moment, but the reality of them, friends, is certain. But do you embrace them? Do you embrace and confess them by faith? Dare I ask you again, are you seriously thankful for the ability to believe what John has revealed to him in the minds of Patmos as to what is yet to come for both believer and for non-believer? For these verses reveal both of these truths. For although, as I said, I believe the majority of the book of Revelation has been fulfilled, which would require you listening to the messages I've already given on this book of apocalyptic history. But what John is shown in Revelation 21 and following was future to him and is future to all who have lived and to all who are presently living. Now, how soon will the reality of the truths in these verses be seen? How soon will the pictures being painted in these verses be seen? Not by faith, but in their awesome fulfillment. How soon? When the last trumpet blows, and in the twinkling of an eye. So I ask you again, are you seriously thankful on this Sunday before Thanksgiving for the ability to enjoy, dare I say, serious Thanksgiving? Now, why do I say serious Thanksgiving? Because you see and you believe not only what Jesus revealed to John as to what lies ahead, for every true repentant believer, in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also what lies ahead for every impenitent unbeliever who thinks that hearing a message on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, especially from their unbelieving perspective, the impossible to understand or see as relevant to this technologically superior 21st century. Because did John have a smartphone in the minds of Patmos? What John writes in Revelation 21, important to me in the 21st century? Important to me as a 21st century man? Who believes that today? Who believes that truth today? I hope you do. I hope you do in comparison to how many, even in how many pseudo churches that would see trying to understand and personally apply the book of Revelation as a monumental waste of time. And by thinking this way, displaying one of the most dangerous things it is possible for the mind of man to display, for the dead soul of a man to display, unbelief in the Word of God. So to begin, the first of eight things I want to ask you, if you are seriously thankful to God, first, are you seriously thankful to God for the ability to believe and confess the truth revealed to John in verse 1 of Revelation 21? What truth? That there is a new heaven and new earth coming. Friends, all you see is not all there is and all there ever will be. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. But let's be honest, is the truth of just this one verse a reality for people today? That there is a new heaven and a new earth coming, where righteousness will dwell. Is this a reality for people today? Or is the cult of COVID mania consuming the thoughts of this blind world? Is this truth of a coming new heaven and new earth front and center in the world you were saved out of? Just think of it from this perspective, from the time frame, lengthy as it was, from when I sought to open up these verses till today. How many times on MSNBC or CBS or NBC were you reminded that there's a new heaven and new earth coming? How many times? But how many times were you exhorted to roll up your sleeve? Is the truth of this coming new heaven and new earth front and center in the world that you were saved out of, if you have been saved out of it? How often have you seriously thought about this revealed truth since I last preached on Revelation? How often have I, does this truth motivate and control the decisions of those with temporary political power and position? Absolutely not. How many have heard politicians use the term New World Order? Or now the need for the Great Reset without you? But they never mention the truth of what is coming, friends. What's coming? A new heaven and a new earth. Pictured in a different way in the last verse of this 21st chapter, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Be honest with your understanding of this blind, unbelieving world you are surrounded by. Is the truth of the coming new heaven and new earth front and center in the current politics of unbelieving men? Is it? No. What was recently completed? COP26. COP26. What is COP26? The foolish times we live in, it is almost impossible to read an article or hear someone speak without having to decipher the acrostic being used. Acrostics are like a secret language unless defined. It's like a secret language. There are whole websites devoted to giving you the definitions of this ever-increasing acrostic confusion. You don't know what COP26 means? You're not one of the elite. No, I'm not one of the elite, and I don't want to be, praise God. But I know that a new heaven and new earth is coming, far greater and more glorious than the new world order or great reset of demonically deceived men. But what is COP26? I had to look it up. Or actually, what was COP26? Because it's over. It was the 26th gathering of the Conference of the Parties. What does that mean? I don't know. All these elite people. The Conference of the Parties. Now, according to this Conference of the Parties, to which you were not invited, what should you be focusing your minds on? The glorious truth that there is a new heaven and new earth coming? No! That there's too much of the physical life-blessing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere caused by the burning of too much coal. That's what the Council of the Parties, all the political leaders of the world, say is important today. No wonder Jesus rejected the devil's offer when he was shown all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, knowing that he had come to bring in the new heaven and new earth for his blood-bought people. Are you seriously thankful for believing the truth of Revelation 21:1, that there is a new heaven and new earth coming, and not the ideas of the Council of the Parties, number 26? But second, are you seriously thankful for believing the truth revealed to John in Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3? What truth? That the living, true, and only God is going to dwell forever with his believing people, with his believing bride. What imagery. Verses 2 and 3, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to present to himself his glorified bride from every tribe and people and nation and tongue. And yet how many foolish and false ideas have men concocted in their devil-deceived mind as to what lies ahead for mankind. Even the false and demonic idea that the universe is going to eventually experience a great heat death, when all the usable energy is used up and the universe becomes a massive burnt-up briquette. Even as the truth of God dwelling with his believing people is ridiculed and rejected. Why do I say rejected and ridiculed? I will return to this verse later. But one of the reasons I asked, are you thankful to God for the ability to enjoy a serious thanksgiving and not the ignorant thanksgiving of so many who never ask a fundamental question? Who am I giving thanks to? Who am I giving thanks to? For I can rightly give thanks to someone who holds the door open for me. But how many will enjoy Thanksgiving this Thursday and never ask the fundamental question, who should be thanked for everything I have enjoyed, am enjoying, or yet will enjoy? The living, true, and only God of the Scriptures, the maker of heaven and earth, and the coming new heaven and new earth, and the giver of every perfect gift. But I don't believe in the God of the Bible. That's your greatest problem. That's the unbeliever's greatest problem, his unbelief. His soul-damning unbelief. The non-believer's unbelief is something that should cause him to tremble, not boast in. So, believer, are you thankful for the ability to enjoy a serious thanksgiving? Because who are going to have their part in the lake of fire, the second death, the unbelieving? those who mock and ridicule your belief in the Word of God. Those who ridicule and reject the truth that the book of Revelation should be believed. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, the folly of not believing what the Bible, the Word of God, reveals about all things. For the return of Christ for his glorified bride is pictured using what? A marriage ceremony. The marriage supper of the Lamb of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb of God. For when you think of a wedding, biblically defined, not distorted and denied in our perverse culture today. When you think of a wedding biblically defined, what do you think of? You think of a time of anticipation. You think of a time of enjoyment for all there, especially the bride and groom. Friends, concentrate. Concentrate the beauty, the enjoyment, and the anticipation of every legitimate marriage ceremony that has ever been enjoyed since God officiated at the first wedding ceremony in Genesis 2, verses 21 to 24. And the Lord caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Friends, think of all the enjoyment of the anticipation of every biblically legitimate marriage since that first marriage. How many biblically legitimate marriages of one man united to one woman have there been since that first marriage in the Garden of Eden? I don't know. But concentrate all the beauty of every one of those marriage ceremonies. You think of all the time and expense that goes into marriages. Concentrate all the beauty of every one of those marriage ceremonies and all the enjoyment of every one of those marriage ceremonies. And all the anticipation of every one of those marriage ceremonies into one super drink. All the wonder and majesty and enjoyment and beauty into one super drink. Whatever the depth of enjoyment that would be enjoyed by sipping that drink pales, my friends. Pales in comparison to the joy ahead for every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns for his blood-bought bride to dwell with his believing people in the new heavens and the new earth forever. To be with him forever. But the last thing the non-believer wants is the presence of God. But it is the one thing that every true believer in God is praising and thanking God for. The time is coming where God will be with his believing people forever. Third, are you seriously thankful for what John has revealed to him as to what dwelling with God, the source and fount of every good and perfect gift, will mean for those enabled by his amazing grace and mercy to enter into the new heaven and new earth? Because what does John have revealed to him and to you as to what God is going to do when this world as we presently know it, with all its present difficulties and trials, passes away? Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. All mankind's problems started when Adam, the first man, thought he knew better than God. The God of truth said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The father of lies said, ye shall not surely die, but your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Not so, Adam, thee already know what was evil, to eat from the tree that God told thee not to eat from. I use the term sobering thanksgiving for a reason. Believer, you are surrounded by unbelievers who think that they don't need the God of the Bible to solve their problems and difficulties. Yet all of mankind's problems started when the first man, Adam, thought he knew better than God. And ever since then, apart from the amazing mercy and grace of God, all men have been looking in all the wrong places for solutions to all the problems mankind is facing and will continue to face because of their rebellion and rejection of the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures. But what do you know by faith, believer? What do you know by faith? You know that the only one who can solve all the problems caused by mankind's sinfulness and rebellion against God, the only one who can solve all the problems caused by your sinfulness and your rebellion against God, the only one who can solve it is God Himself. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Are you seriously thankful? Excuse me. Are you seriously thankful for the fact that the living God, the true and only God, has the power and the ability to remove all the consequences of His people's rebellion and rejection of Him? But fourth, are you seriously thankful for the fact that the Lord tells you what you should focus your believing mind on? The first part of verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Don't miss the word behold. It is an imperative. It is something you are to be using your mind for. The Lord is telling you that you should be focusing on something. Behold, I make all things new. When this fallen, trouble-filled world, due to man's rebellion and rejection of the one who has made it and sustains it, rushes in and overwhelms you, stop and say to yourself, I am not to be cast down by all the foolish and depraved things I see and hear unbelieving men engaging in, testifying to the truth that they are unbelievers. I am to behold the truth. That the living God who sent His only begotten Son into this sin-cursed world to save His people from their sins is going to make all things new. Are you going to doubt and reject the truth of the Word of God as your natural father Adam foolishly did? Or are you going to believe the Word of God? Why do I say this? What does the Lord tell John to do? The end of verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How thankful you should be to the Lord for John's obedience to the Lord. The Lord told him to write the book of Revelation, and he wrote it for your instruction and your blessing, believer. For what is what John has written? First, it is true. First, it is true. You reject or disagree with what the Lord told John to write, then face what you have to call the God of truth. What do you have to call the God of truth if you reject that the book of Revelation is true? What do you have to call the God of truth? A liar. Not a wise thing to do. Not a wise thing to call the God of truth a liar. Second, it is faithful. It is faithful. What John was told to write in these verses, friends, is going to take place. Just as the previous chapters reveal the Lord showing John things that were to take place, that were all future to him, but have been fulfilled. Fifth, are you seriously thankful for how easy it will be for the Lord to do what John has revealed to him? Why do I say this? The first part of verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. And he said unto me, it is done. The living, true, and only God can declare what is going to take place as having taken place. Because I want to ask you a simple question. Can anyone or anything prevent or hinder God from doing what he has revealed he is going to do? No. Oh, that those with temporary political power were given the understanding the Lord was pleased to give to humbled King Nebuchadnezzar, as recorded in Daniel 4, verses 34 to 37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Friends, if there was to be a universal vote of all mankind telling God he could not do what he has revealed he is going to do, would a world totally given over to unbelief result in God not bringing in the new heaven and the new earth for his glory and the benefit and blessing of his believing people? No. Now, how quickly and how easily will the Lord be able to bring the new heaven and new earth into existence when his decreed time for his doing so comes to pass? How quickly and how easily will he be able to do it? There's something you have done many times since I began to preach. And you could do it right now, and I will tell you how quickly and how easily God will be able to do this. Blink. Blink. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. But a sixth reason you have to be seriously thankful for the faith to believe what you have revealed in Revelation, believer, is seen in the rest of verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The Lord declares who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Believer, are you seriously thankful for knowing the reason for all that is and all that ever will be? It's the glory of God. Leave the living God out of your understanding of reality, of the way things really are, and you are living in a fantasy world. You are living in a matrix of unbelief. But embrace and believe the truth of the first 10 words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Embrace and believe what John has revealed to him in Revelation, and you realize the truth that all things were made by him and for him, and in him all things consist. And what does the one for whom all things exist promise to those who thirst for a greater understanding of the one who is the source and sustainer of all things? I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. One of the clearest evidences of mankind's true depravity is the number who honestly believe, due to their depraved unbelief, that they do not need the Lord. I'm all set. But if you were to ask them why they thought they were all set, they would say something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though this foolish thinking contradicts and conflicts with the word of God. Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 3. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. How many, if on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, if they were to be arrested and thrown into a prison, would say, how could I enjoy Thanksgiving in a prison? And yet Paul and Silas were beat up and put into that jail in Philippi, and they were praising God. Friends, if material things were the key to happiness, the happiest person on the earth, rather than one of the most miserable, would be a hoarder. But notice I have used the phrase serious thanksgiving or seriously thankful more than once in this message. What does being serious have to do with thanksgiving? Seventh, are you seriously thankful? Because if you are a true believer, you know you have to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, all who labor to destroy your belief in what the Bible teaches. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Be honest with yourself, believer. You know you were saved out of an unbelieving world controlled by the devil that mocks and ridicules your believing what the Bible teaches. Why do you think Paul wrote that you were to put on the full armor of God? If needing to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil was not a reality. Because the unbelieving world that you were saved out of, believer, labors to deceive you into thinking that this world is all there is and all that matters. You believe that you are an adopted child of the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures. You believe you have an inheritance laid up for you in the new heaven and new earth, like all those who overcome this world of unbelief. Don't tell me you believe what the Bible teaches, especially Revelation. It's the 21st century, man. Who needs the promises of God, the promises of the God of the Bible, when we have vaccines? But eighth and finally today, are you enjoying a serious thanksgiving? Because you know that those who reject the truth revealed to John about the coming new heaven and new earth, where God will dwell with his believing people, that those who display sobering unbelief in some way against all these truths revealed and all the blessings that John has revealed to him, that all these things do not apply to them. That do not apply, for their destiny is different unless God has sovereign mercy and grace upon them, as he had on those who truly believe the Bible. Believer, do you enjoy a serious thanksgiving? Because God's word reveals the destiny of those who do not believe the God of the Bible. That he is the only one able to solve all mankind's problems due to their rebellion and rejection of him. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Believer, you were saved out of and are still surrounded by a world that does not want to believe the things that John has revealed to him by the Lord in this one verse. Is the reason that their destiny in their unbelief is the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. But the fearful. Remember, John lived in a culture that believed the idols created of the devil-deceived minds of men were the only ones to be looked to to solve the problems of mankind. Confess Zeus. Confess Mars and we'll let you live. Confess Jesus Christ is Lord and we will put you to death. Let's be honest. What is being pushed today as mankind's only hope today? A new world order, a great reset. What? You believe that mankind's only hope is the crucified, risen, ascended, reigning and returning Lord Jesus Christ? How many even in the churches would be afraid to confess the truth that the biblical and saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is there and mankind's only hope? Showing the sobering characteristic that John lists next in verse 8. But the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How many even in the churches today do not believe that the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is mankind's only hope? How much unbelief is displayed by those claiming to be believers by the rejection of some truth clearly and repeatedly taught in the Bible. Refusing to believe what the Bible teaches on anything it teaches on is not a wise thing to do in light of what such impenitent unbelief is evidence of. That unbeliever is on the wide road leading to the lake of fire. How many unbelievers show how ignorant they are of how dangerous their unbelief in the Bible is by mocking believers who believe what it reveals and declares? Now, John and you are having this sobering eternal destiny of impenitent, fearful, and unbelieving sinners who are unwilling to face the truth of how serious their going on in unbelief is, even as John reveals the destiny of other impenitent sinners in verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, why do I say John is listing impenitent sinners in this verse? Meaning those who do not come to repentance and faith in the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is why I have used the phrase serious thanksgiving. Are you able to give serious thanksgiving to the living, true, and only God because you have come to see the very things accepted, supported, even legally protected in our culture today? Are the very things that show that the destiny of such unbelieving sinners in America and in the world today is the second death, the lake of fire? Unless they repent and believe the gospel. For will there be repentant and believing former fearful, abominable, murderous, whoremongering, lying sorcerers and idolaters communing with the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth? Yes. Praise the Lord. But there will be no impenitent unbelieving, fearful, abominable, murderous, whoremongering, lying sorcerers and idolaters in the new heaven and the new earth. Their destiny, unless they repent and believe the gospel, is the second death, the lake of fire. The destiny of such impenitent unbelievers is the lake of fire. Therefore, in view of the times the Lord has decreed for you to be living in, serious thanksgiving is the only type of thanksgiving that makes sense in light of what lies ahead for those who believe the Bible, who believe what John has revealed to him here, and what lies ahead for those who do not. How many display the sobering characteristics of unbelief as described by the things listed in verse 8 of Revelation 25, even as they mock and ridicule the glorious truths revealed for the blessing and benefit of believers in the verses that precede verse 8. Hath God really said there is a new heaven and new earth coming, where righteousness and not wickedness will dwell forever? For all those who overcome this world of unbelief by believing the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, hath God really said that in his word? Yes. But has God really said there is a lake of fire forever for all those who go on in their wicked unbelief displayed by their abominable ideas and activities? Yes, as well. Are you seriously thankful for believing what Jesus has revealed to you through his servant John? Will the truth revealed to you by Jesus in these verses of Revelation enable you to give serious thanksgiving to the Lord even this coming Thursday and every day until they become the reality they will become in the Lord's sovereignty over all time, including your time and mine? Let us pray. O Lord our God, how ignorant we are of reality without your word. Grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand and believe what you have revealed is yet to take place for everyone who confesses your Son and for everyone who does not. Help us to be a people who can give you serious thanksgiving and praise. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.